Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Herbie Hancock is a true icon of modern music, a jazz pianist and composer whose illustrious career has spanned 7 decades, 14 Grammy Awards, an Academy Award, and most recently a Kennedy Center Honor. In his new memoir, Herbie Hancock Possibilities, he reflects on his life and thriving career. He's had an enormous influence on both acoustic and electric jazz, R&B, and hip-hop. From his beginnings as a child prodigy to his work in Miles Davis's second great quintet, from his innovations as the leader of his own groundbreaking sextet, to his collaborations with everyone from Wayne Shorter to Joni Mitchell and Stevie Wonder, he tells us what made those possibilities possible. It's a great pleasure to welcome Herbie Hancock to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, hey, thanks, Joe. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, very nice to have you here. I have to say, the book is so enjoyable, and it's a fascinating story. And I'm curious as to the point you get in your life where you say, I would like to share this with other people.
Well, it was important for me to open up an aspect of my life that not only was I hiding from everybody else, I was really trying to shove it out of my own memory banks. But, you know, it can be very, very dangerous if you're in denial of something that actually happened. And so thanks to my family and their encouragement, I decided that writing this book is a great opportunity for me to talk about the problem I had smoking crack.
Yeah.
And you know, it came out of curiosity. It wasn't that anything was missing from my life or some problem or some sadness or some other suffering that I had. It's just, you know, sometimes curiosity killed, you know, the phrase, curiosity killed the cat.
Right.
This was an example of it. It was something I never should have tried just to see what it was like. And, you know, I had to pay the price for that, but thankfully, I went to rehab, and I continued to practice Nietzsche and Buddhism that I've now been practicing for over 40 years. And I was able to overcome those demons, and after that, I was able to stop drinking, period. And in addition to, of course, not smoking crack, I mean, I don't even think about that anymore. But I stopped smoking cigarettes too. So hopefully I might be able to encourage someone or help someone who's suffering with some kind of addiction in their lives.
You do write this in the book about your struggle with addiction, and I'm give us a timeline of where you were in your career. How old are you when you start at the curiosity comes in and you start the drug abuse?
Well, first of all, going back to my early life as a kid, I mean, curiosity is what led me to my interest in technology and in science. I used to take apart clocks and watches when I was a kid, and you know, to see, you know, what makes them tick, what makes the hands go, how do they work? You know, this is always, and I'm a geek to this day, and I'm a first adopter of anything that has to do with technology, and I still love technology, but you know, sometimes curiosity kills the cat, and my curiosity about smoking cocaine led me to that first time I tried it. I realized I should have never done this. But it wasn't that I wasn't familiar with cocaine. You know, I was born in 1940, and by the 60s, I mean, it was what they sometimes refer to as kind of a drug culture. You know, there was experimentation with mind-altering drugs, with LSD and other things at that time, but you know, smoking and drinking, you know, alcohol, cigarettes. I mean, that was kind of recreational for me. I didn't necessarily have an issue with that. So that familiarity with cocaine was kind of part of my life, but it wasn't getting in the way of anything. I didn't have a real problem with that, but I got a taste of what that doorway of addiction that happened on that first time of smoking that pipe, and it took a few years for me to overcome those demons, but I did it. And the reason I wanted to talk about it in this book is that never give up. You can win, and perhaps I might be able to help someone else who has a problem with addiction.
What point were you in your career? Did it have an impact on your career?
Fortunately, I kept that away from my music. I kept it away from my family. And so, consequently, the times that I would do that were rare. That would be months between one time and another time. But it was only when those months turned into weeks that it became apparent to my wife that something was wrong. And finally, that was kind of an intervention. And it really saved my life. But I, even though I broke into tears out of embarrassment and shame, I mean, I was ashamed of myself for doing this. That also kept me away from it for a long time. But I needed to go to rehab, which I did, and I continued to practice Buddhism, and I conquered that demon. So if I can do it, you can do it. It can happen. Just never give up.
I think it's interesting how you kept it from your career and from your family and your marriage. I mean, you have been married for 42 years, and that is, I mean,
actually 46 years now.
46 years. 46
yes,
years.
We got married in 1968.
You met in a jazz club.
Right. As a matter of fact, what's today? Today is the.
Today is October 30th.
Right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Halloween, right?
Yes.
That's the anniversary of my meeting my wife.
Wow.
And that was 50 years ago. It'll be 50 years tomorrow that I met my wife, Gigi.
So, I mean, obviously it speaks to the strength of the relationship to deal with those issues, but also just to deal with being an artist and being on the road and doing what you do as a musician, what is expected of you.
Well, fortunately, I realized right away this is not something that's going to help my music. It would interfere with my music, and so so I put those barriers up in front of me, and that served me well during those dark days. Anybody can be faced. It's not just musicians that get faced with issues having to do with addiction.
Yeah,
I mean, people have addiction to a lot of different things. It could be food. It could be alcohol. It could be an addiction to a particular person. I mean, but the point of this book is never give up, because you have the capability to win over your demons.
When it comes to the pride that you have in your music and what you have achieved as an artist, you write about this in the book of really trying different things, of being open and wanting to explore, and as you say, being that person who wants to, being very technologically savvy and wanting to take something apart and figure it out. So that has served you well. With that
Absolutely. In
mind, what are you proud of that you have accomplished in that experimentation?
I don't think a lot about pride, because I'm more interested in concentrating on what do I do with this moment. what's the next thing I'm going to do? You know, so looking back is not how I spend my life, although I had to look back in writing this book. But so it's difficult for me to answer that question because pride is not pride can be very dangerous. But what I'm most proud of is that the decisions that I have made in my life have served me well, and that I'm happy, and this is not pride at all. I'm happy that I happen to, in so many cases, meet the right person at the right time, and had the sense to recognize that this is the best thing for me to do in this moment. I guess, in a sense, there's some degree of pride that I have in that, because I'm happy about the direction I've chosen throughout my life. And that's the key word, choice.
Right.
So often we react to things, and reacting is actually becoming a slave to external circumstances. But we have always the possibility to step back and say, wait a minute, I can make a choice. I can decide to go this way or that way. I can choose to say this or not to say this. And when you take a moment to review what's happening, you have the ability to look at and examine a broader perspective of whatever that issue may be, and consequently, there's a much greater chance of you making a better decision for yourself and for others who may be involved in that decision-making process. And this is one of the things that I'm encouraging in this book. Make a choice. Don't just react to external circumstances. And in that way, you can write the story of your life, and it can have a happy ending.
Musically, what choices are you making now?
I am going to start working on a new project in January. In my mind, I've already really started thinking about it. January and February are the 2 months that I've kind of carved out of my schedule to work on a new record. And there's a young musician named Flying Lotus that I've had some meetings with that actually appear on one of the tracks on his new record, which is called You're Dead, which is an amazing record. It's fresh, it's new, and I think it's a fantastic record. And I'm very happy that he agreed to work with me on my record.
The new book is Herbie Hancock Possibilities. The book is out and published by Viking. Herbie Hancock, great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I'm so happy to talk to you and talk about my book to your audience.
Thank you very much. Again, it's Possibilities, published by Viking. Herbie Hancock, thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.